is entitled The Newness of Life. Can you say that with me? The Newness of Life. Let's go to John chapter 20, beginning in verse 1, and we're reading from 1 until 9. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. It starts this way. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early. What time?
Early.
When it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciples and came to the sepulchre. So they ran together, and the other disciples did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet he went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciples, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. I have a question for all of you gathered here this morning. And by a show of hands, I'd like you to raise your hand. How many of you believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and has come out of the grave? If you believe that, raise your hand. Praise God. The next question I'm going to ask you, I don't want you to raise your hand, okay? I just want you to listen to this. I have a question for you all, and the question I must ask you is this. Without a show of hands, how many of you are still in your tombs? What does that mean? It means this. We are all born into sin, okay? We were born into sin. Adam sinned. And everyone after Adam is born into sin, all right? And I need everyone to focus. There might be some people walking around, but they're not preaching, okay? Just listen, okay? I know we're creatures of habit. I even looked up. But listen, this word needs to penetrate your hearts and minds this morning, okay? We were born into sin and death. Paul said it this way in Romans 7:24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I don't care how good you got it. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care where you live. I don't care how handsome or pretty or attractive you are. I don't care if you've got it all together. If you have not been born again, then we are still in a tomb. All this flesh is doing, all this body is doing, is holding our lives together just for a small season. And the word of God says this, it is appointed unto man once to live, once to die, and then after death, the judgment. If we have not been born again, when we die, we lose out on eternal life. So the question we have to ask ourselves this morning, and don't go fast through it. Really examine your heart and say this, am I alive? Have I been born again? I'm not talking just about saying a prayer one time. I'm talking about, do you feel God lives inside of your heart? Does he speak to you? Do you have a relationship with God? Are you fully alive? Paul said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And we know that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only true, the only way in life. Amen. And without him, we would not know life after these bodies are planted into the ground. Luke chapter 9, verses 59 and 60 say this. How do we know then that just because we see each other, just because you can hear and see me, and your faculties might be there, and you might have a heartbeat, doesn't mean you're alive. We must understand that. Just because you have breath in your body, it doesn't mean that you are fully alive. How do we know that? Luke chapter 9, verse 59 and 60 say this. And he said unto another, this is Jesus talking, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Or I'll follow you, Jesus, but first let me go bury my father. And do you know what Jesus said to him? Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. So that means that while Jesus was on this earth and while he was alive, there was a man that came to him and said, I will follow you, but first let me go do this. And Jesus said, no, you come with me. Let the dead bury their dead. How can dead people bury dead people? Because he wasn't talking about his natural state. He wasn't talking about heartbeats. He wasn't talking about people that had their lives together or thought that they had life. He was talking about people that are alive, very much alive, but very much dead at the same time, spiritually dead. So what do we learn from this passage? Number one, there are people that are naturally alive, but spiritually dead. And number two, we learn this. He said, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. So those of us that are alive, this is how you know you're alive. This is how you know your life is with Christ. This is how you know that when you die, you will see him. When you are alive, there is something that comes over you and takes over. And that thing is the urgency to preach the kingdom of God. The urgency to tell people about Jesus. The urgency to be fully alive. We must understand that those that have life walk in their eternal purpose. And that is to preach the kingdom of God. Say this with me. I have purpose. Yes, you do. You all have a purpose, and it's up to you whether or not you're going to abort that purpose or lay your life aside and pick up the life that Jesus Christ has for you. Ephesians 2 and 10 says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So before you were ever born, God had a godly intention for your life, a purpose for your life, and works for you to fulfill. There's things that God wants you to do in your life to bring glory to his Father, but the only way to do that is to be born again. I hope that you don't just take this as another sermon. I hope that you don't take this as just another Easter message. This is life and death that I am talking about. Every week somebody dies. Every day somebody dies. And we don't know when it's our turn or somebody that's sitting beside us their turn. Do you have life? We must walk in that life that he has assigned for us. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. So those of you that were born again, or those of you that were about to be born again today, what does born again mean? It means that we were born dead. And we can't reach heaven in this sinful state. We must be born again. And to be born again, we must believe that Jesus Christ lived on this earth in the flesh, that he was the Son of God, that he was crucified for our sins, and that he is risen from the dead. And by faith, you believe on him. And that is how we receive eternal life. And that is how we are born again. Okay, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That is the message titled this morning, Newness of Life. Life doesn't even begin until you are born again. And life doesn't begin fully until you receive everything that life has to offer. I wasn't born a preacher. I was born a sinner. I was born lustful. I was born a fornicator, a drunk, smoking things I shouldn't smoke, a college dropout. I was a very sinful individual, okay? If it had not been for the grace of God, anybody that knew the old Damian Tibbs knew for a fact that I was out of my mind. that I had no business being a pastor. I have no business being a police officer. The same thing that I have arrested people for, I have done. I was a sinful and a wretched man. And that's why Paul said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? You must understand that sin has a hold on you if you let it. And the wages of sin equals death. But the gift of God leads to eternal life. Now, there are some of you saying, well, why are you preaching this message? I am already saved. Are you? Are you walking in the full newness of life? Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Let's go to Luke chapter 24, verses 4 through 6. And it says this. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed or confused, therefore behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was in Galilee? So, when you have arisen from the sin and death you were born into, when the people who knew you before look for you in those old places, look for you in that old lifestyle, look for you with those old friends, expecting you to be doing the same old things, will there be someone there to testify saying, why are you looking for one that is alive among the dead? Have you fully walked away from your old life? Have you fully left the tomb? Have you fully left your sin? Have you fully walked out of darkness? Or are there times that we go back and visit the tombs? Are there times we go back to our sin? Back to our sinful habits, back to our sinful nature, and can be found there. What we must understand and what we have to do is say, Jesus Christ, thank you for saving me from my sin. Take away this passion and this lust for the things of this world that I might be forever free. And if I ever go back to my tomb, the place that you freed me from, may I find a rock there. And may that rock be Jesus Christ. May Jesus Christ guard my tomb. So if I go back to try to find my old sinful self, my old sinful lifestyle, may Jesus be standing in front of the tomb that was Damien. May Jesus be standing in front of the tomb that was you. And those, when we come back looking for sin, because we all do it. The word of God says this, if any of us say that we are without sin, then we are liars. So here's what I want to do. When we go back looking for sin, when we go back looking to engage in things in the dark, may Jesus be guarding our tomb and say, why are you here looking for the living among the dead? Why are you here looking for sin and I have freed you from this sin? Why are you saying that you're addicted? Why are you saying that you have not overcome? I have had all power given unto me and I give it to you. Amen. Thank you, God. Here's what we must understand. John 10:10 says this. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he did a pretty good job with me. And if I let you all testify, you can say the thief stole a lot of things from you in your life too before you came to Jesus Christ. Okay? My virginity, gone. I couldn't give that to my wife. It was gone. Why? The thief. That's pretty frank, Pastor. Yes, it is. I was a drunk and a high and a liar. The thief came to tell me I was things that I really was not. I was raised by a pastor in this very church, but still I went out and I tried to do the things that the thief said I could do. The thief said, you have a long time to live. The thief said, you can get your life together later. The thief said, drop out of college, it'll be okay. What did the thief say to you? Because the thief is after your life. The thief is always trying to tell you that there's more time than there really is. The thief come not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Some of you young ladies, you have been abused sexually, verbally at a very young age because, listen, the thief starts early. He wants to abuse you and injure you early in life so that you might walk with a limp and you might never receive the glory that God has for your life, so that you might forever walk with your head down, so that you might forever say, I am not good enough, I am not worthy, I had a baby out of wedlock, I did this and I did that. And the thief gives you these lies, and Jesus Christ has come for one reason and one reason only. Listen to the rest of this passage. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come. Thank you, Jesus. The lion, the lamb, the Son of God. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So listen, Jesus didn't come just to give us eternal life. He didn't come just so things would be okay in the sweet by and by. He came to restore life and identity and all those things back to us now. 2 years ago, God began giving me messages, and we now know what they all stand for. We had four different series. We started with L for love. We must understand that God loves us beyond a shadow of a doubt. Say this with me. God loves me. Now, some of you, you've been living a sinful lifestyle, and when you say that, you kind of confuse and say, well, I really don't know. But here's something God told me the other day. He loved me just as much when I was high and drunk as he did right now when I'm preaching to you. Can you receive that? Love is not a feeling. You don't have to feel love. You just have to know that he loves you. That's the starting point. We can't move until we get that. God loves you. No matter where you are in life, no matter how sinful you've been, no matter what you've done, God loves you. For God so loved the world, what did he do? He gave his only begotten Son. So those of us that will believe in him would not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. We must also understand in this cycle of love that God loves us, but then that's not good enough for just God to love us. We don't want to be selfish. We have to learn how to love God back. Oh, that's what worship is for. Worship is not a spectator sport. Worship is a time for us to come together collectively and say, God, I magnify you. Lord, I pray. And he's listening. He loves the praises of his people. How do I know this? Because the word of God says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We have to learn how to love him back. Because listen, he loved us in our sinful state. He loved us in our misery. So we owe him to love him back. And how do we love him back? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength, because that's exactly what he did for us. The third part of love is this. We've got to learn how to love ourselves. Say this with me. I love me. Put your hand on your chest. We're going to say it again. And it's got to sink down in there because you've been so lied to for a long time to look. See, the devil makes you look at your faults. The devil makes you look at all the mistakes you've made. And sometimes the devil even puffs you up full of pride and self-righteousness. But you've got to know that. Say this with me. I am nothing without the love of God. I love the Lord. I love me. Say it one more time. I love me. One more time. I love me. And I'm not talking about a selfish kind of love. I am talking about the reason that we can love ourselves is because that he first loved us. The reason that we can love ourselves is because we are made in his very image. We have to have a selfie health love. And the reason I have to tell you to love yourself is because some of you don't. Some of you suffer with depression. Some of you suffer with, you dislike yourself. You've got to know that you are special in the sight of God. And then lastly, the word says that we're supposed to love each other as we love ourselves, okay? So that's love, all right? So there's four phases to life: love, identity, faith, and eternal purpose. So all of those things must function together for us to walk in the newness of life. We have to have love in every aspect of what love is and what love means. Next, we have to have identity. The person that you were born, from your mother, born into sin, was not who you were meant to be. It's not until we are born again that we get that true identity. Amen? Sometimes I look at myself in the mirror when I have on my police uniform and I just shake my head like, what are you doing wearing that? What in the world? Don't they know? Identity. God wants to give you a new identity, but it must be found in him. Some of you have been banging your head against the wall trying to find a job, trying to find a career, trying to find happiness, trying to find joy. But listen, none of that exists outside of God's will for your life. That is where your true identity is. Then we must have faith to believe that all these things that I am telling you are true, that you are loved by God, that you have identity, and that you have an eternal purpose, okay? And finally, E stands for eternal purpose. So we got L-I-F-E. The devil is after your life. He wants to take you out of here so that you don't live out your full purpose. And if he can just pull one letter away from there, if he can steal your faith, you're left with L-I-E. A lie. We don't want to live a lie. We want to lay down these lives and pick up the life that he has given for us. Amen? Luke chapter 17, verse 33 says this: whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. All I know is this: I was in Columbus, Ohio. I dropped out of Ohio Northern University. I said that I would go to Columbus and start going to school there and get a degree and start life over. And all I really did was more of what I was already doing in Ada: more partying, more women, more drugs, more alcohol, all that, okay? Because listen, Damian Tibbs, outside of God's will, was just living a lie. I had no identity. I had no love. I had no faith. And then one day God came to me and he said, listen, I need you to move back to Lima, Ohio, and help your dad out at the church. That was over 13 years ago. Over 13 years ago, I packed up my bags and moved from Columbus back to Lima. The prodigal son returned, okay? The prodigal son returned. And we all, when we are not living for Christ, when we have not submitted our life to him, see, if you try to save your life, that's the best way to lose it. If you try to live life to the best of your ability, even if you become a multimillionaire, the word of God says this: what does it profit a man to gain the entire world and still lose his soul? Life doesn't begin until we are born again. So how do we do that? How do we get life? Luke 9:23 says this: and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That is where life begins. And I want to tell you something that's going on in America and in this entire world right now. Listen, we live in a culture that it says, me, 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 me. It's all about us. what we can have, what we can do. But the Word of God says that we must learn how to deny ourselves. You must learn how to tell yourself no. John 3:30 says this, he must increase, but I must decrease. You've got to come to the point. Listen to this. You've got to come to the point where you say, you know what? I don't even like me anymore. What's that mean? It means this. That life that I'm trying to live, I don't want anything to do with that anymore. I don't want anything to do with my mind, my will, my emotions. You have to get a taste, a distaste for the things of this world and say, God, I surrender. I surrender my life to you. I want to follow you. And this is what Jesus said. You see, Christianity has become so cute now that it doesn't cost you anything. Christianity can be so easy now. So many, they even say that this is a Christian nation. The majority of people say that we are Christians, but Christianity costs you something. Listen, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the King of Glory, came to this world. He humbled himself as a child that had nothing, very poor, couldn't afford to stay anywhere, born in a manger. But yet he humbled himself and laid down his life for us. Following Jesus Christ is going to cost you something. And I'll tell you what it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your life. Your life for his life. If your Christianity is not costing you anything, then you need to re-examine it, okay? He said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Why? Why do we have to follow Jesus Christ? What is the point of following Jesus? Psalms 23 says it this way. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You see, before I found Jesus Christ, my life was desolate. I was living paycheck to paycheck. There was no way in the world that I could be blessed with a beautiful wife in my sinful state. Some of you are wondering why the blessings of the Lord have not come to your life, because you've got to have him first. You've got to have Jesus Christ first. There is no way. If I would have found her at 18, I would have blown it. If I would have found her at 18 in my sinful state, I would have blown it. And that is the reason God has to withhold the best things from you until you leave your own will behind and say, Lord, I will pick up my cross and I will follow you. So why a cross? Why do we have to pick up a cross, this instrument of death? Because the Word of God says this about ourselves. There is no good thing in this flesh. There is no good thing that I can achieve in and of myself. I must die. I must die in Christ. I must die to my own will. And that is when my life gets its purpose. Amen. We're almost done for the fanners. I know your hands are getting tired. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 says this about our eternal purpose, okay? Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. God uses us on many different candlesticks, whether it be your job, your family, your church, your community. He wants our light to shine. And we must understand this, that we have an opponent, an opposition. And that is the devil that goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we must understand that our life must be hidden in Christ, and that is the only way that he has through our into our flesh. The only way that the devil can break in and begin to steal life from you is through this flesh, through your own will. Praise God. Listen, here's the danger of your own will, the danger of your own way. The Word of God says this: there is a way that seems right. There is a way that seems right, but leads to destruction. Many of us are comfortable and don't even know that we're driving on the wrong side of the highway. There have been many deaths on I-75 of elderly people who turned the wrong way on the highway, and they're just driving along thinking that everything is just fine. They're going to see their grandchildren. They're going to this. They're going to that. And all of a sudden, they don't realize that they're on a head-on collision with a semi, and they lose their life. Let me tell you something about life. It's not forever. There is only a certain number of beats that this heart is programmed to have. It's just like a clock that has been wound up. And when it's done ticking, we leave this world. Let me tell you about the love that Jesus Christ has for each and every one of you under the sound of my voice today. It is time to dispel all the lies you've been told about yourself. You are special. You are important. Jesus Christ God doesn't want to see your sin. He wants to see you covered with the blood of his son. Some of you are so depressed, so far from God, and you feel like you've done so much that there is no way that he will embrace you again. But that can't be the furthest thing away from the truth. Jesus loves every single one of you. Can you two come here for a moment? You two. Yes, you two. I've got to go with the Spirit now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hold hands. Father, I thank you for these daughters of yours that belong to you. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for their awakening this morning, God. I'm asking that you would awaken them from their sleep, Lord. They were raised in the church. They know the ways of the Lord. And now, Father God, I pray that your light would so shine upon them, God, that they would run from everything that is not like you. I pray in Jesus' name that the prayers of their mother and their grandmother would be answered right now in this moment. For your word says this: if you train up a child in the way that it should go, when it is old, it will not depart. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we begin to break every chain that the enemy has placed around these women. Satan, you are a liar. You cannot have them now nor ever. We decree in Jesus' name that they are free from the influence of the enemy. Satan, I bind you in Jesus' name. You have no authority to be in them, around them. I thank you, God, that you love them more than words. I thank you that you dance over them, God, that you gave your life for them, that your blood was spilled for them, God. And just like you called me out of darkness into your marvelous light, I am asking that you would do the same thing for these two young mothers, God. I pray in Jesus' name that there would be no shame. I cancel shame right now in the name of Jesus. You do not have to be ashamed of anything. I thank you, God, that this is a loving church. And we love them, God, and we restore them to their rightful place in you, Lord. I thank you that you're going to awaken something in the two of these women, God, and that there are going to be mighty women of God. I thank you, God, that their assignment in this world will be fulfilled. Satan, you thought you had them, but you do not. I thank you, God, in Jesus' name, that as they surrender their lives to you, that the power of God would come upon them now, and that they would be able to serve you with a full heart, with all their mind, with all of their strength, and with all of their soul. I come against every man that whispers in their ears sweet nothings. I come against men that you did not send in their lives, God. I thank you for godly men, godly husbands for these women, God. I thank you, Father God, that there will be a priest in their homes, God, that can lead them into the ways of the Lord. I think that they refuse to settle for anything less than a king and a prince, God, sent by you. I thank you, God, for forgiveness of their sins as they ask, God. I thank you for a fresh start for both of these beautiful women, God. I thank you that the dark clouds can leave their lives and that joy could come. Your word says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Your word says this, God, that you must draw them. Your word says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And I thank you for this moment in Jesus' name. Listen, he's got his eyes on both of you. Look at me. Look at me. That's part of it. You need to start keeping your head up. No more shame. Say this with me. No. Say no. More shame. Say it again. No. More shame. Shame. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. I thank you in Jesus' name. I thank you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Your word says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Satan, we break your power now in Jesus' name. She will not walk in shame. She will not walk in the identity that you have tried to give her. God, we say, let her spirit arise. Let her arise from shame. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, they brought to you a woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, and the law said that she should be stoned to death. And God, her accusers were many, and they had rocks in their hands, God. And here she stands, God. Sometimes she's not sure to say, go ahead and throw the rocks. Lord, she feels sometimes that they should just throw the rocks at me, God. But we come against that spirit right now, and we say that shame shall not be your portion, but you will rise up and be the daughter that God has called you to be. You will rise up. You will rise up out of the dirt. Just as that woman, she rose up, and Jesus said, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, Lord, there they are none. And Jesus said, well, I don't accuse you either. Go and sin no more. In Jesus' name. Okay, listen. Very special day for you both. And I don't want to push you into anything, but God gave me both of you, okay? Would you like for Jesus Christ to come into your hearts? I know you've been saved before, okay? And don't let that discredit this moment. Would you like to rededicate your life to God right now? Because listen, he will have you. Listen to me. He will have you. He will in no way reject you. Are you willing? Are you willing?
Yes, Lord.
Girl, I can't hear you. What'd you say?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Say this prayer with me. Jesus, forgive us of our sins and trespasses. We knew better, but you still love us. And today,
on this day,
we walk away from everything that tried to take our lives. Lord,
we rededicate
our lives to you. Satan,
you have no power
or authority in my life anymore.
Who the Son
has set free
is free indeed.
Raise your hands.
I am free.
Say it again. I am free. Say it again.
I am free.
Again.
I am free.
No more.
Shame.
No more.
Head hanging low.
Amen. I am a daughter of the King of Kings.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now let me tell you something. Thank you, Jesus. David, okay? was best friends with Jonathan. He loved Jonathan so much. And he wanted to do something special for anybody that was still alive in Jonathan's house. And they told him about Mephibosheth. And that was one of the ancestors of Jonathan, but he was crippled and he was lame. And when they pulled him up from where he was and he stood before the king, just like you guys are standing here right now, you know what he said to them? He said, "What would you have to do with me? I am nothing but a dead dog." That's what you're coming from. You're leaving depression and sadness behind. Listen, Jesus forgives you. So guess what? Pastor forgives you. And guess what? Church forgives you. And guess what? Guess what? Listen. It's none of our business anyway. It's none of our business anyway. It's none of our business anyway. So listen, if anyone in this church has ever made you feel lower because of what you've been through, I say you forgive me on behalf of them, because that was nothing but the lies of the enemy. Don't listen to anything, any shame anybody tries to put on you. You will feel it. It's heavy, okay? You feel that? Okay, now listen, this is what Jesus says. He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Listen, you have been restored, but it's so important that you follow the command of Jesus Christ like he told the lady, okay? They could have killed her, but that's what the law said. But Jesus showed her grace, and what he said was this: go and sin no more. The things that you know that are wrong to do, they don't have power over you anymore. When you have been born again, okay, does sin still exist? Yes. Is there still a choice to sin? Yes. Is there still a decision? Can we leave here and sin if we want to? Yes. But listen to what's been broken for you today: the power of sin. You don't have to sin anymore. Jesus Christ is fully alive on the inside of you, and you even look different standing here. You are standing taller. Your head is higher. You are standing taller. Walk in the identity that Jesus Christ has given to you. Say this with me. I didn't hear you, girl. I am no longer
the same.
In Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, do you see what the power of a lie will do in your life? How she could not even hold her head up because she was walking around in so much shame. But that's what Jesus Christ came to do. You were all witnesses of it. Just because somebody didn't have, we didn't bring somebody up in a wheelchair and they stood up physically. Listen, she still had an ailment. She still had a handicap. There was a miracle that you just saw before your own eyes, that a woman that walked up here in shame and living a lie walked back to her seat not the same. Now, I don't want to stop there. Is there anyone else that's ready to say? Can we all stand to our feet at this time? Jesus Christ said, "The thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy." If you are able to look at your life and say, "You know what? I should be happy, but preacher, you've been saying some things that I want to make sure that I am right with God. I want to make sure that I have this abundant life that you're talking about." If anyone else is unsure of where they are with God, or they just want to walk in that newness and fullness of life, I'm going to pray, and then you're going to be released to come down here to the altar. And when I release you, I don't want you to start thinking with your mind, because if you start to think with your mind after I give the invitation, the devil is going to pull you and make you stand right there in your seat. But now, in the name of Jesus, we break all power and authority over the enemy. And your word says that if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. So Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray this prayer that, Father, when I open up the invitation to receive life and life more abundantly as given to us by you emerging from that tomb, that people would begin to walk down here, Father, and fill up this altar and say, "You know what? I want the life that Jesus died to give me. I want to trade in my old life for the one that he has, even if you have been born again. Even if you have been born again, but you're still not walking in the fullness of life, I'm going to invite you to come at the same time. So here's who we're calling forth: those that desire to be born again and those that desire to walk in that full newness of life that Jesus Christ died to give us. If you're not walking in fullness of love, fullness of identity, fullness of faith, and fullness of eternal purpose, God is going to do something for you this morning. And if you are in sin and desire to be born again, then Jesus is going to save you from your sins this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that no doubt could hold anyone in their seat. We break the spirit of fear in this place in Jesus' name. For your word says that I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So I thank you for people's freedom to come to you. Your word says, let all that are hungry come. Let all who are thirsty come. And Father, we pray that in Jesus' name, that those that are seeking after your righteousness, those that are hungering after your righteousness, thirsting after your righteousness, will be filled in this moment in Jesus' name. So now I ask you to come quickly. Those that are not walking in the fullness of life, you might be born again, but you want a touch of life. You want a drink of him this morning. He is the wellspring of life, and you want to say, Lord, I want more of you. Come to the altar now. Those of you that desire to be born again, to be set free from your sins, you can come to this altar now and receive eternal life, that if you die today, just as the man next to Jesus Christ on the cross, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. And I thank you that you can receive freedom from your sins and you can receive the fullness of life today. Those that are willing to receive and drink of the wellspring of life, I ask you to come right now. Stop thinking about it. If you already know that the Spirit of the Lord is having you to come up here, don't wait for somebody else to do it. Let movement be in your feet. You come and drink. Nobody can drink for you. Nobody can partake of God for you. If you have a hunger and a thirst for the Spirit of God right now, he is going to overflow and overfill your life. It doesn't matter if you've been born again or not. Sometimes we need a new touch. Sometimes we need a fresh anointing. Sometimes we need to be stirred up. Sometimes we get some stopping in our vessels, and sometimes the wind of the Spirit needs to blow through us and get all the junk out, filter out all the mess. So if anyone in here is willing to say, and that's why I'm down here now, if anyone else is willing to say, Lord, touch me again, touch me anew, I desire to drink of you and your presence, I desire to have that wellspring of life spring up new in me, for your word says this, God, out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. And it is that living water, Lord, that helps us to have love, identity, faith, and eternal purpose. So come at this time. All those that are willing, come. Those that are thirsty, come. Those that need a touch in their body, come. If anyone has a sickness or an ailment that you